760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. And truly, each one of you, we're grateful for you, and you bring us joy as well. So we are grateful that you are there with us every morning. I am Allison DeLuhl, and I am joined by Josh Harris. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Allison.
How are you this morning?
I'm good, and there is this prayer I am a big fan of, Father Vincent Sullivan sent, and man, it is a good one. It's a Lenten morning prayer creed, so I'm going to tee it off. In the name of the Father, Son,
and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father, I thank you for this day. I know in faith that you are delighted that I exist, and I know the most important reality of my life is that you love me and you look on me at this moment with such tenderness and love as no one ever could. I know I am your only child. Whatever was my past, you deserve to forgive me and heal me when I want healing. I know it is forgiven. You give me a brand new beginning this day with a future full of hope. With you now, I spend a moment to look over what I think might be facing me today. There are things that will be unpleasant, but I know that you will be there with me as my best friend, consoling, helping, healing, strengthening, and guiding me. There's absolutely nothing I have to be afraid of. All this I know, Father, because your Son has told us so. Amen.
Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Beautiful.
It's a good creed.
Yeah.
And there's a line here I really love that, I like a lot of them, but you look on me at this moment with a tenderness and love as no one ever could.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good reminder, man. God is love. It's not just a secondhand characteristic, but it is his entire nature.
And he created each one of us. And again, I love that prayer because it's like he is speaking to each one of us, which he does. He has mm-hmm. that unending love for each one of us.
Yeah. When I was at seminary, there's this professor who was so, so smart. And he essentially said something so beautiful. He talked about all different world religions and things. And he said, in Catholicism, one thing that was so beautiful about Catholicism, which is different than other world religions, mm-hmm. is, you know, other world religions talk about being absorbed into God or being one with God or one with everything. And you essentially lose your identity. But he said, only in Christianity do you become fully one with God, and he still calls you by name.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I thought that was pretty rad. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
So anyway, that's pretty exciting. And then today I'm speaking to a group of men for businessmen led by Father Brandenburg.
Yes.
Yeah, so the talk is Levity and Leadership, a Catholic Comedian's Guide to Changing Culture.
Oh, nice, Josh.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
It was a pretty spicy title. It wasn't my title. He gave it, but I was like, yeah, let's run with that. That sounds pretty cool.
Marvelous, marvelous. I get to pick up my oldest at Bosco, and then my son has soccer practice tonight, so...
Riveting.
Yeah, a riveting day of a mom. It's a blessing.
Yeah, I think about my mom, man. I popped into her house last night.
Aww.
And when I showed up, I didn't think I was going to be there, but I showed up. It was right by I was popped in Holy Spirit, and she lives right around the corner. And she looked at me and she goes, "The best surprise ever."
Oh, Josh. Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah, mother's love is pretty special.
It is. And it's funny, too, that you're talking about mother's love. I popped in my mom and dad's house yesterday because we ran out of propane at our grill. So was grilling some hamburgers over there, just bonding with them. It's so wonderful just being so close to them and
yeah.
getting to chat and just chill with my mom and dad.
Absolutely. It is a gift. And your parents are certainly a gift from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish, though, I think moms get the most respect. I mean, people know there is just like this guttural understanding of how heroic moms are. I don't think dads always get the same respect. I found this statistic out. I don't think dads get the same respect because they sell 40 million less cards on Father's Day than Mother's Day.
Oh, my goodness. We have to change that.
Yeah, 40 million. I joke, even the cards are different, right? Every Mother's Day card is like to the world's best mom. I saw a Father's Day card. It said, to whom it may concern. So,
oh my gosh.
But yeah, it is interesting. I think there is, I mean, dads are so heroic, but they discipline and moms nurture. It's like the ultimate game of good cop, bad cop sometimes. But there is, I think we understand that there is an intimate connectivity we have with our mother that we'll never have with another person.
Well, we do. And then coming from my angle, you know, being divorced, you know, single mom, gosh, it's hard, right? Because the single moms out there, we're kind of having to play both roles. Mm-hmm. And we know we can't be a father, right? So we do the best we can do. So that's a challenge.
Yeah, I bet. And it's, I you know, I hear about you when you're talking about your kids and things. I mean, I have this whole day planned and I've got all these things I'm doing, you know, from service to professional stuff. Mm-hmm. And I look at, you know, the stuff you've got on your plate. And I think, wow, that's amazing, Allison, all you're doing and all you're sacrificing. And at the same time, my schedule would be obliterated if I had some of the responsibility that you have. And, you know, God calls us to different things in different seasons. But I hope your wonderful kids see that sacrifice down the road.
I am sure they do. I'm sure they do. And if they don't, they will know later on. Yeah. They will appreciate me fully. Well, we got some great conversations coming up later today in the show. Father Scott Riley is going to be back. He is a priest at St. Brendan and Navigator, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Chuck Persner is going to be back, and we are going to be getting acquainted with a sainted. John Monroe, prisoner at Christ the King, he is an owner of Rosa Mystica Metals, and he's going to be talking to us about how the Lord led his wife to the creation of this beautiful company. So I can't wait to learn more about that. And then coming up next, Father Siloway, pastor at All Saints in Dunwoody, is back, and he is going to be diving back into theology of the body, with today's topic being redemption of the body. So a lot of great stuff ahead.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the truth with Josh and Allison.
Ooh.
Father, excuse me, y'all.
Welcome, Father. How are you doing?
I am great, thank you. Just getting over a little bit of a cold, so I got a little cough and sniffle here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we are so glad to have you back, Father. So thank you for plugging away, even with your cold lingering. And we're thrilled that you're back talking to us about theology of the body. That seems to be one of the favorite topics here. And again, today's topic is redemption of the body. So what a great place to start back.
And by the way, Father, you are such a treasure trove of knowledge on this stuff. Did you get a master's degree in theology of the body? I don't know. You know, if there's an
no, such a thing
part.
Does exist. It does exist, but I was very blessed to study at the original John Paul II Institute for Studies in Marriage and the Family in Rome for the my advanced degree after finishing my major seminary component. So it's graduate level theology, and the degree that you earn there is called a Sacred Theology Licentiate. It doesn't have a correlation in the secular world, but it's somewhere in between a master's and a doctorate.
Wow.
It involved 2 years of study and then a huge research paper.
Wow. So. It's amazing. Well, it shows you really bless us with all that you know on this incredible topic. And Father, can you give us a quick refresher, by the way, to just remind us where we are in this reflection on St. John Paul II's theology of the body?
Sure thing. We use as a point of departure the same place that St. John Paul II did. So he starts with creation and how in God's creation all things are good, and the creation of humanity, male and female, image and likeness of God, our eternal dignity, the personalistic norm that the human person is the kind of being toward which the only adequate response is love. We got into the temptation and the fall, how that fall happened and what its consequences were for humanity and human nature, our relationship not only with God, but also between man and woman. And where we left off last time, I was checking through my notes, we left off talking about this kind of funny combo of Greek terms called the proto-evangelium, which is the first proclamation of the gospel we hear about there in Genesis.
Oh, Father. So what is that, and how does it set the scene for what's to come?
Yeah. So again, proto-evangelium, proto first, evangelium, gospel. So it's this moment where we see where God is speaking about the consequences of the fall, and he tells the man, you know, you're going to have to work for the fruit of the land, and you're going to get thorns, and it's going to be the sweat of your brow. And he says to the woman that there's going to be pain in childbirth, but you're still going to long for your husband. But then to the snake, this is where the proto-evangelium comes in, to the Satan, our ancient enemy. He says, I will set enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. And while you strike at his heel, he will strike at your head. So God is making a declaration here, it's the immediacy of God's rescue mission to save us from this, the broken, disintegrated reality we entered into by original sin. And so, St. John Paul II is saying what God is doing is he's setting up that he will make a new Adam and there will be a new Eve. And it's going to be, and this is what is at the heart of redemption. This is what the heart of redemption is. Salvation is coming. That new Adam is going to, obviously we know now, is going to be our Lord Jesus Christ. And the new Eve, where Eve was disobedient and led the first Adam into sin, the new Eve is going to be the Blessed Virgin Mary, who's going to cooperate with God's will and lead her son by her constant yes to his own, the primary act, the full act of redemption through his death and resurrection on the cross. So this proto-evangelium, you can kind of see it if God's salvation is like this long drama, this is like the end of act one. The curtain comes down and it's like, what's about to happen? We're at a climactic moment and transitioning into something new with redemption.
Wow, that's incredible. So the perfect love of God is what made us and what we were made for. So how can we enter into this authentic love? And what does it look like, practically speaking, Father?
Well, if I could just jump back for a second and talk about because I want to get to that. That's going to be some great and important stuff. But if we could talk about just real quick what Jesus did to redeem us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So St. John Paul II teaches that that our Lord Jesus redeemed not just the soul of the human person, against kind of these theologies and philosophies that say that the material world or the body is evil and only the soul is good. No, what we see by Jesus taking on human nature, particularly through the incarnation, is that the whole human person is saved, body, soul, heart, mind, all of us, the entirety of the human person. So look at this, that first, we see in the very first moment of our Lord entering into the world, the Annunciation, the Holy Spirit makes Jesus present in the Virgin Mary's womb, that Jesus takes on human nature. He shows that human nature is good and valuable, restores us. There's a redemption that's already taking place by the fact that God chooses to take on human flesh. Human flesh is not evil. It's not totally alienated from God. It's not like the Platonic kind of idea that the human soul is entrapped in this wicked, evil body. Yeah. No, the body is good, is good. And so Jesus shows us that. He shows that the heart is redeemed. But look at all the teachings of Jesus that, in a certain sense, you could look at every teaching and every miracle being about reorienting the human heart. As kind of a perfect example, think of even Jesus's Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, or not even before we get to the Beatitudes, but Jesus talks about, you've heard it said, and we're referring to as the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, you've heard it said that you shall not commit adultery, right? It's the sixth commandment. Everybody's very familiar.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to say, but I say to you that anyone who looks at another person with lust in his heart has already committed adultery.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is saying the problem is not just with disobedience to a moral law. It's about the orientation, the dispositions, the movements of your heart, that the desires that are coming up out of there are things that I've come to redeem as well. And think too, just even in the Beatitudes, the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. So there's something so incredibly important about that Jesus has come to redeem the whole human person, body, mind, heart, soul, all of it, because all of it is good and all of it he wants to bring into the kingdom of God.
So that's encouraging for people who may fall into that heresy of Gnosticism and just detest anything bodily as well.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. Yes, precisely. And then all of this comes to most climactic. The end of Act Two, if you will, of this great drama is the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, where he shows what authentic love looks like.
Mm.
He shows that it's that love isn't so much a desire or a feeling, an emotion, but it's an act of the will. It is the choosing to give the gift of oneself, like the classical definition of love being to will the good of the other person. So what is good for them, I'm choosing to do that. I act on that. And Jesus shows that in its most kind of dramatic way, where he says, you know, there is no love greater than this than to lay down your life for your friends. Wow. And that's precisely what he's done on the cross. He shows the reorientation of the heart, the giving of the body, the total entrustment of the will to God's will, this gift of self, this full authentic love.
And doesn't that just give us more love for ourselves and how we were made? The notion that Jesus
yes.
did all this salvific work through a body.
Yes. Yes, it absolutely should. It should give us incredible hope. It should fill us with joy that, I mean, we have a solution to all of the brokenness we find within us, and it's in him.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. And Father, the perfect love of God is what made us and what we are made for. So how can we enter into this authentic love?
Yeah, like I don't mean to be diminutive or make anything sound simplistic, but it comes down to this is what faith in the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if we're really living out of a disposition of faith, let's say a reorientation of our heart, it changes everything. It changes everything when we allow the gospel, the truth of this gospel, that we're made by God and for God. It's our sin that separates us from him, but he has sent the rescue mission that reorients everything within us. The process that happens, how we open our hearts, is simply by, like we pray every day in the Our Father, if you think about it, thy will be done
yes.
on earth as it is in heaven. But there are tried and true ways of helping to open our heart and to live in faith, to allow the Holy Spirit to reorient us. And if I might suggest, you know, Lent is this is what Lent is all about.
It's about,
yes. like, even though we've been baptized, we live in grace, we receive Holy Communion, we repent of our sins regularly, but so often our hearts long to go back into enslavement, into self-worship, or into, you know, living out of our desires and stuff. So Lent gives us this perfect opportunity to use these weapons of spiritual warfare, fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. And by entering into these things, all of them kind of working in concert, they tear down the walls around our hearts and our minds and allow the grace of God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit to do that work of healing and to reorient us back to the recognition of who we are vis-a-vis God.
Wow. Father Siloway, that was beautiful talking about that and something that we all can take today and just utilize and put into practice, these beautiful messages.
Praise God. Great to be with you guys again.
Thank you so much, Father.
Later in the show, Chuck Persner is going to be back and we're going to be getting acquainted with the sainthood. And also John Monroe, parishioner at Christ the King and owner of Rosa Mystica Medals, is going to be with us talking about how the Lord led his wife to the creation of this beautiful mission.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:21.
Father Scott Riley, priest at St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, Georgia, is back, and he's going to be reflecting on the gospel reading today. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. I hope you're enjoying Lent.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get off with a good start?
Absolutely.
Nice. How was your designer? Did you have a designer cross, rather,
you know,
on your
what?
Forehead?
It was kind of light.
My brother, he's a priest, Father
wow.
Stephen. Yeah, he's a priest.
Breeding winners in that family.
Yeah. Two sisters, both married. He's in Raleigh, Legionary Christ, Superior of our community.
Two LC priests, brothers.
Two LCs, yeah.
Wow.
So he said they have a recipe for the ashes.
Wow.
They mix a little bit of oil in it.
Really?
To make it just a tad sticky so it doesn't fall on your face.
On your nose.
So that's neither here nor there.
In your next Catholic cookbook. Right?
A liturgical cookbook.
Because
you got to have a recipe for hosts.
Oh.
A recipe for the wine.
Wow.
You know, you can't have any additives and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. You can't mix wines and all that with other fruits. But today's gospel, we'll go to that. This is a great recipe for our spiritual nourishment.
Amen.
Here you go, amen.
From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you not forgive men, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your transgressions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This gospel, it's so beautiful. Jesus taught us how to pray, and mm-hmm. Our Father, Abba, he would say, Abba, Daddy. Mm-hmm. Your Father knows everything.
Yeah.
You could talk to him like a daddy. But at the same time, this is a tough gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely tough. Well, first of all, he's asking us to depend on him, to entrust ourselves to him daily.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? He says daily bread, not monthly bread, yearly bread.
Yeah, I mean, there's no Costco mentality here.
Yeah.
Just get your stock up, and then I'll come back in a month. Mm-hmm. No, it's daily. You get your daily portion. It's like the Jews or the Israelites, when they were in the desert, they only could collect a daily portion of manna. Mm-hmm. And if they collected more, what would happen? It would rot.
Mm.
So God is wanting us to have daily dependence on him. And if we strive to secure our sustenance outside of God, it rots away. Mm. It just disintegrates. There are other parables that, like, don't stir up things that the moth will chew up, the rust will destroy. He wants us to depend on him. And then this other part here, which allows us to, I think, actually discover the heart of God, and therefore to increase our capacity to depend on him, is imitating the heart of God, and that is forgiving.
Mm.
The more we learn how to forgive, the more our heart becomes like God. And then we are lifted up. That's the lift that God gives us in our lives, his grace. But it's not just forgive when we feel like it. It's forgive us our trespasses. We're asking him to forgive us in the measure that we forgive others. And I don't think we're always cognizant what we're saying in
Correct.
That prayer.
Yes.
If God were to hold us truly accountable to those words, would we pass the test?
Mm.
Would we be forgiven? Bad stuff happens to people through other people.
Mm-hmm.
People can be incredibly good and incredibly mean. I mean, that's our fallen nature at work, and God's grace works in us when we're so good. We're good. God shows up. But how to forgive when we've been hurt so badly? And I think we can take a little pressure off ourselves and to realize that it's a grace and we need to ask for that. Just simply asking the Lord the grace to forgive someone who has hurt us mm-hmm. is already an opening to forgiveness. And we're on the road to freedom. A lack of forgiveness is a walking, we put ourselves in a walking jail, a walking cage.
Yeah.
Wherever we go, we're caged up. And we're caged up by anger, we're caged up by resentment, we're caged up by sadness, you name it. But when we begin to forgive, we're set free. And that's why Jesus himself says, if someone has something against us, let's ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness as well is a process. It's not something that just happens. It takes time. And a lot of times our feelings are never going to catch up with the act of will that we make.
Wow. So is that not also a metaphor for life and relationships? So you're saying take an act of trust. Step out, ask God for the grace to forgive, mm-hmm. take actions of love. Isn't that kind of similar to marriage in some ways, where you think, well, I don't feel it, so I'm not going to show it, you know, versus no, you take the acts of love towards your wife, towards your husband, you know, towards your children. Even if you have some bitterness, you ask for that strength, you ask for that grace, you know, you get spiritual direction, you act your way into right thinking versus think your way into right acting in some mm-hmm. ways.
Yeah, exactly. And
it comes from God, though, that grace.
Oh, totally. I was watching a video. This priest was on Instagram. He had a great reflection on marriage. And he said, this is sanctifying love in marriage, that you as couples just don't give up on each other.
Mm.
Don't give up. And that's, you know, that sanctification, that that happens through dying to oneself. It really does, dying. And then, you know, at the beginning of this gospel, Jesus says, don't babble in prayer. And I think if we're people that are not a forgiving people, if I'm not a forgiving person, no matter what I say, it's just babble.
Yeah.
I mean, we think we're doing a lot. We go to benediction. We pray a rosary every day. We go to mass every day. But if I am holding grudges against my family members with other people, I'm babbling.
Yeah.
It's a lie. And that's why it's so, this prayer is so committing and so harsh. It's harsh, this prayer. Because it's just knocking us out of the water, blowing us out of the water. And Jesus is saying, you will be forgiven in the measure that you forgive. But Jesus, he never puts an albatross on us. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the door to freedom.
Yeah.
Where we find life. And therefore, that's where we have to be humble and then sit with him and ask him to open it up to us.
Amen.
Father Scott Riley, that was beautiful. And I think a great takeaway would be just focusing on the words of our Father and taking it to heart and asking the Lord to help us live out this prayer daily.
That, secondly, put in the crosshairs that person in your life that you know you need to forgive. And put that especially on the altar and ask God, therefore, the next step, the grace to forgive. You got to make it concrete.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to love humanity.
Yeah.
It's easy to forgive humanity. But to forgive a person with a first, middle, and last name, that's a different story.
Boy, that is a powerful takeaway. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Father Scott Riley, LC from St. Brendan the Navigator. We are so grateful.
Amen. God bless everybody.
It is 8:30, and my name is Allison DeLuel. From CatholicVote.com, Pope Francis is showing signs of improvement, with doctors noting positive responses to treatment. They've lifted their initial concerns as recent tests, his good reaction to medication, confirm progress. However, he'll still remain in the hospital for continued care as his respiratory infection was severe. But he's been balancing prayer and rest. The Cardinal Newman Society has released a list of recommended summer programs for high school students at Catholic colleges. Schools like Ave Maria University, Benedictine College, Franciscan University, and others in the U.S. are offering programs along with international options in Italy, Spain, and Canada. These programs lasting 1 to 2 weeks give students a taste of Catholic education while exploring subjects like theology, computer science, and philosophy. They also offer fun activities like rafting at Belmont Abbey. Scholarships and college credit are available for select programs, making it a great opportunity to grow academically and spiritually. Don't go anywhere. Later in the show, John Monroe, parishioner at Christ the King and owner of Rosa Mystica Medals, will be here with us talking about how the Lord led his wife to the creation of this beautiful company. And then coming up next, Chuck Persner is back, and he's going to be teaching us how to get acquainted with sainthood.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It is 8:33.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chuck. Who we got?
Well, we got another St. Catherine today. You know, just a few days ago, we discussed St. Catherine Drexel. Of course, we know about Saints Catherine of Siena and Catherine of Alexandria. Beautiful name, you know, one to consider perhaps as a confirmation name for those of you working on that. I'm biased, of course. My mother's name is Catherine. My niece's name is Catherine. But today we are going to talk about Saint Catherine of Bologna. This is a bit of a look back segment. Her feast day was Sunday. Mm-hmm. So it's, of course, superseded in light of the solemnity of Sunday. And she shares the day with St. Francis of Rome, who I thought we might get around to tomorrow.
Wow.
So we had two great saints sharing a day. St. Catherine of Bologna perhaps is known to the artists who might be listening. She is the patron saint of artists. And let us first begin by saying that she was a 15th century Italian nun. She was a mystic, had many mystical experiences. And yes, she was an artist, born on September 8th in the year 1413 in Bologna, Italy, to a noble family. From a young age, she was drawn to the spiritual life and was well known for her devotion to prayer and her devotion to the Eucharist. When she was 18, she entered the convent of the Poor Clares in Bologna. Once again, a connection to a saint we just talked about not long ago in St. Colette of Corbie, who was called to reform that order, as you may recall. We talked about that just a few days ago. And she took her vows and devoted herself to a life of contemplation and to service to the poor. And then during her time in the convent, as I'd mentioned, Catherine experienced many mystical visions and received many gifts from God, and including the stigmata.
Wow.
Wow.
That's no small deal. We know that, and for those of our non-Catholic listeners, that those are the physical wounds of Christ. She received them. That's an extreme privilege. I guess you'd call it a privilege. It's a very painful thing, but not many saints have experienced that, most notably perhaps St. Francis and, of course, Padre Pio, who's much beloved. But Catherine was a talented artist, as we'd mentioned, and is known for her paintings and her illuminated manuscripts. She is credited with creating the first known depiction of the Blessed Virgin Mary as a black woman, which is now housed in the Pinacoteca Nazionale di Bologna. That's my Italian for that.
Oh.
Not so good, right? Probably doesn't.
I think so.
I don't know if the guy even came close.
You're asking
there,
the wrong guy.
But in addition to, I should have rehearsed that more, I guess, yeah. In her addition to her artistic pursuits, Catherine was also known for the charitable work. Again, she had devoted her life to the poor and her efforts to reform the convent. So once again, we see a reformer here in the Poor Clares, looking to bring that order back to its roots of prayer and sacrifice. She was known for her kindness and compassion, as many of our saints are, towards the sick and the poor, and was referred to as the Angel of Bologna.
Wow.
Was her nickname. Yeah. And in spite of many achievements, and we just went through a number of them, she was not always well regarded by her fellow nuns, and she's often faced opposition and criticism for the mystical experiences. And once again, her efforts at reform. People don't like change, you know, and especially if we're starting to fall into some lax ways and not making the sacrifices that all of us, upon a good examination of conscience, know we must do. But she remained steadfast in her faith, in her devotion to God, and was eventually recognized for her holiness by the church, as is oftentimes the case. We've come to realize the true beauty of these saints in later years. And she died on March the 9th, hence her feast day, in the year 1463. And she made it to the age of 50, was canonized in the year 1712, and is now recognized as a saint here in the Catholic Church. And you know, quite a fascinating life.
She is the patroness of who? Who's got the answer? Because I do, but I'll test you guys. Anyone know what she's the patroness of?
Oh, certainly of. Allison, do you know?
Yes, artists, liberal arts. And against temptations. I love hearing that.
Yeah, super cool.
And there's a, you know, I've got a quote here from her. Whoever wishes to carry the cross for his sake must take up the proper weapons for the contest, especially those mentioned here. First, diligence. Second, distrust of self. Third, confidence in God. Fourth, remembrance of his passion. Fifth, mindfulness of one's own death. Sixth, remembrance of God's glory. Seventh, the injunctions of sacred scripture, following the example of Jesus Christ in the desert. So talking about temptations, I mean, this, when it comes to all these words, you know, distrust in yourself, right? Confidence in God, you know, his passion. So again, it's focusing not on ourselves, but Christ, as well as Christ in the desert.
Yeah. Well, distrust of oneself is self-awareness, really. We know we can't do it on our own. If we're left to our own devices, we will fail. And a reminder of our own death. You know, saints are oftentimes depicted at their desk writing or praying or reflecting, and there'll be a skull on their desk.
Hmm.
And for those of you who don't know why that is, this was so that they would be reminded of their own mortality. To a reminder that this is not the final resting place. And I think when you do something like that, it's not macabre. It's really just a reminder of the sense of urgency that we need to complete our life's mission. Sometimes, you know, in the case of St. Catherine of Bologna, she had 50 years. It's not a lot of time. So we have to attack our mission with urgency.
What are you doing? You know, when I was teaching Sunday school this past Sunday, talking to our sixth graders, talking about the importance of confession. You know, I mean, because I remember seeing a movie, and I think I brought this up in the show before, the Mother Teresa movie. And after I watched that movie, I just really just started thinking of, wow, when you die, how are people going to know you? How are they going to remember you? Right.
Yeah.
What did I do for Christ? You know, did I do everything I could do? And yeah, it's important if we're not doing what we should be doing now, if we're falling short, which we all do, you know, going to confession on a regular basis.
Yeah. And, you know, one way to be remembered after you're gone is to write down some of your experiences. And St. Catherine of Bologna was known for her writings on the spiritual life. Wow. And I encourage everyone to write about your experiences. I do it as a hobby.
Oh, yeah.
But we have people coming into the church, you know, through our RCIA program. And if I sponsored them, I'll encourage them to write. And their immediate reaction is, I'm not smart enough to write. And that's not what it's all about. Mm-hmm. It's about capturing your experiences, your very unique experiences as a new Catholic. And if you put them out there, they could be useful to someone.
And even if you're not new Catholic,
they'll be out there long after you're gone.
Yeah.
And not just writing. One of her big writings, the Seven Spiritual Weapons, is a guide to fighting temptation and growing in holiness. But she's also a skilled artist, musician, and poet.
Wow.
And so she painted religious images to inspire devotion and saw art as a tool to glorify God.
Yeah.
Very cool, right? So sometimes we leave a testimony through more traditional platforms like writing or, I mean, in a priest's case, preaching. But here's someone who's preaching through the beauty they created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And isn't that cool?
That is. That really is. And as mentioned, she was the first to depict the Blessed Virgin Mary as a black woman. And we know that through the many, many apparitions of Our Lady, she will appear to the people of that indigenous land as a Japanese woman, mm-hmm. or a black woman, or a Native American. So by virtue of this gift and her sharing her gift of the art, we're allowed to have these images and can hang them in our homes if we want, or mm-hmm. we can pray in front of them. And that is, like you said, Josh, that's a great legacy to leave behind, because, yeah, art is beautiful. And, you know, we have artists listening today. I'm sure we do. So for those of you who are looking for inspiration or intercession, this would be the saint to call upon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is a pretty poignant way to go out. She said, "I die in the love of Jesus and Mary."
Mm. Amen.
Yeah, and what a legacy. I mean, she established a monastery of the Poor Clares in Bologna and became its abbess. She remained humble and served the sisters with menial tasks, mm-hmm. and emphasized the joy in suffering, seeing hardships as a gift to unite with Christ.
Yeah, remarkable life, really. Truly remarkable life.
Fantastic.
St. Catherine of Bologna.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, mm-hmm. finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. We're listening to The Morning Quest. And we're not listening. We're talking on The Morning Quest.
We are talking and listening.
There was a little plot twist before this segment. I was hoping we were going to unpack something I thought was very timely and relevant. And Dave, I think very wisely, called us to pivot, switch directions. So we are reflecting on our Bible verse this week. I don't know. He must be looking for something in his pantry in his house. What's going on? Can you hear us, Dave?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. It sounds like you're in a can.
Yeah, what in the world? Are you at the mechanic or something?
I'm actually in my kitchen because I get better Wi-Fi reception here than I do where I usually am.
So I love it.
My wife was just putting some pans away.
Good job. Look at her. I love it.
Go killing two birds with one stone, rocking the radio and having pancakes. There you go.
But what a wonderful idea to let focus on our scripture verse of the day.
Which is Galatians 6:9. Now I'm not going to be a bully. It's only Tuesday. I'm not going to quiz you guys on it yet, or should I? I'm looking at you, Allison. All right, can you give me the first part of it? Don't worry about the longer part. But
let us not grow tired
of
doing good.
Yeah.
Ooh,
you got it right.
Yay.
Oh, okay. Are you cheating?
No, I was staring at you when I said doing good.
I'm impressed. Yeah, I thought you said let us not grow tired. I was like, this is a Gatorade commercial or something?
It's been a long morning. I'm already...
Yes.
Allison is tired.
Yeah. I am tired. It's official. Hey, and then I'm doing good.
Let us
there
not
we go.
Grow tired. Starbucks. Okay, thank you. No, this is let us not grow tired of doing good, right? For in due time, now this is the part you don't have to memorize, but if you want to go extra credit, let us not grow tired of doing good, for in due time, we shall reap our harvest if we do not give up.
This seriously, and I talked about it yesterday, this is just a great verse, you know, because again, in life's trials, you know, with kids or without kids, with work, in marriages. I mean, we have to just stay the course and not grow weary and just keep plugging through, right?
Yeah, and there have been times, I mean, certainly we can overextend ourselves, but I would say the overwhelming majority of the time when there's something, and we know if it's a, something that's an inconvenience, but we should say yes to, right? Like, are we willing to be inconvenienced by God?
Yeah.
And typically, when I say yes to those things, my plans just go so much better.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily look at it as a transactional thing, but it's kind of like, hey, God, I'll take care of your business. I know you got everything that I'm concerned about in your hands, but your plans are far bigger, far bigger and better.
Amen. Always, always, always. Even if we don't know it at the time, they always are.
And
taking the first part of that, I think about, like, I'm doing so much good and I'm just sick of it. You know what I'm saying? Kind of what it's saying. I'm just sick of doing good things.
That's another way to look at it, Dave. But I'm like,
that's not the way it was meant, though. No,
but you can do, Dave. You should do that. If you're sick of doing it, then take a sick day from doing good things and just do whatever you want. No,
my
I'm just kidding.
My brain hurts now.
Coming up next, John Monroe, parishioner at Christ the King and owner of Rosa Mystica Metals, will be with us talking about how the Lord led his wife to the creation of this beautiful company.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:47, and we are so happy to have John Monroe, parishioner of Christ the King, in our studio today. He is the owner of Rosa Mystical Metals. So, John, welcome to The Quest.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, and it's so amazing because I had just learned about your company recently, and I was looking over the website. What beautiful product.
Well, thank you.
And
thank
such
you.
A history. So tell us about the company and how it was founded, because I know it was divine.
Sure. So Rosa Mystica Metals, we sell replica of antique Catholic medals, crucifixes, and rosary centers. We own the antique medals, and we recast in sterling silver, and we sell them online on our own website, www.rosamysticametals.com. And a lot of the metals come from Europe, and even within Europe, a lot of them come from France.
Wow.
So these metals are not mass-produced, and all of our metals are in sterling silver. And so they're going to show the wear and tear of the original owners. Some of them actually have engravings on the back. As I was mentioning to you, we have one that says June 1916. So some of these metals are pretty old.
Yeah.
The way this came about was, I was raised in New Orleans, raised Catholic. My wife was from Eastern North Carolina, and she was Presbyterian. We got married in 1989. She converted to Catholicism 2 years later, and her mother said she wasn't surprised. A lot of her friends were Catholic, and as a matter of fact, one of her best friends became a Jesuit priest. After she converted, she was fascinated by saints. And so she kind of just looking into it, trying to understand, what is saints? How does it fit into the faith? And she ran across some antique medals online, and she's a very creative person. She paints, she's artistic.
Yeah.
And she said, well, let me take this medal and put it on a necklace and bracelet. And she was selling it online, I think eBay or Etsy, one of those. And people kept coming back to her saying, hey, this St. Francis medal you had, and she was actually selling the actual antique. We love the St. Francis. And she realized, why am I selling the antique medal? And so she started to recast them in her sterling silver. Mm. Now, she was doing this as a hobby. We had three young children, and she was teaching preschool.
Oh, wow.
And she would recast them herself. We had a little kiln in a converted porch. She was using silver clay and doing it herself. And I used to call it my little tax problem, because at the end of the year, I'd look and say, wow, you made money. Now we have to pay taxes on it. And the business grew, and it kept growing. And she moved to eBay, Etsy, Amazon. Yeah. And continued to sell. And the business got so big that we actually had to find a jewelry manufacturer.
Wow.
I'll give a shout out to EWI Jewelry in Martin, Georgia, who does the recasting for us in sterling silver.
Yeah.
So the business is growing and doing well, and you know, it's keeping her really busy. Now, my career, I'd been working in corporate America. To be honest, I thought I'd be a corporate man my whole life.
Yeah.
My biggest fear was working alone and working for myself. Well, I was working for a startup about 8 years ago. And it wasn't starting. And Susan said to me, I think if you focus on this, we can really make a go of it. So I said, all right, I'll give you 8 months. Well, 6 months. 8 years later, I'm still doing
it. Oh, wow. Praise God.
I'm living my greatest fears, and I could no more go back and work for a company. But we sell over 300 medals, and when we travel, we're always finding medals. I think, as I just mentioned to you all, we were down in New Orleans, yeah. went to our favorite flea market, and picked up 10 antique medals.
How amazing.
That we'll recast and sell. We are a product of the internet. We sell. Last year, we sold in all 50 states and over 30 countries.
Wow.
As a matter of
Whoa.
Fact, yeah.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, today I'll be sending a medal to the Netherlands.
Oh my gosh!
I sent one to Germany the other day. We have sent a medal. Now, granted, it hadn't been in. It's been the past couple of years, but to China,
wow.
Russia, and last year I did send a medal to Hong Kong.
Oh, so
See, and
cool.
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And you know what is even more amazing to me, John, that your wife, when she converted, she was very interested in the saints.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it takes converts a while to even understand the saints. And we know they're prayer partners. We don't
exactly.
worship them. So that is absolutely amazing. And then researching and then finding these and sharing the gift of the Catholic faith and all the saints with others. That's what this is doing.
Well, exactly. It's keeping the history of the saints alive.
Yes.
And one of, kind of our tagline is that our medals are a channel of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And every day when I go to the post office, my prayer is that, Lord, may these medals bring the grace that the recipients, you know, that they need. And may it be a channel of your love. And
Amen.
So, and we get wonderful stories. I mean, St. Peregrine, the patron saint of cancer
yeah.
patients, somebody will say, I bought a Peregrine medal for a friend of mine and it meant so much to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we get these wonderful stories. And it is a business. It's what put food on the table.
Yes.
But these stories remind me of why we do what we do.
Absolutely.
And it kind of knocks me out of that business mode and says, hey, this is bigger than just, you know, putting food on the
table.
It's
a ministry. I mean, it's truly
it
a ministry
is.
That makes you money, but you're
it
glorifying
is.
The Lord and you're sharing his love with others, with the saints.
My hope is that the business is for the greater glory of God.
Amen.
Yeah. And it is fun. As you said, the research, I mean, I showed you all some of the medals
yeah.
we have.
Yeah,
and I mean,
gorgeous.
You know, the detail, and these medals are not made anymore. They're not mass produced. They're not made anymore. And just the workmanship and the detail of the medals are incredible. And they'll have the symbols of the saints on there.
Mm.
Some of the medals have another saint on the backside. We call them the twofer. I have a St. Francis medal. It's got Claire on the other side because,
wow.
you know,
they were
friends. They were partners. And so if there's mm-hmm. a saint that's associated with another one, you'll have those two together.
That is amazing.
That's so great. And the name Rosa Mystica, that holds some deep Marian significance. Does that, could you unpack that a little bit
yeah,
more?
Yeah, I think my wife just was intrigued by the name and just thought it was yeah. a beautiful
it
name.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is.
And so she decided to name it Rosa Mystica Medals.
That's mm. so great.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't believe the level of detail that is on some of these just
the medals I know
incredible medals. I mean the fact this is not plastic, the fact that you could get such intricacy designing depicting these saints is incredible.
Yes. But
even more impressive if these are recasting of
mm-hmm.
you know like these antique medals, how they even figured out how to do that in the past.
Yeah.
It's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, no, it really is. And you know, Allison, as you mentioned, just researching them is
yes.
so much fun and learning about it. Like, you know, okay, why is this symbol there?
Yeah.
St. Francis, he's feeding a dove. Well, you know, that one's easy. He was close to animals, but some of them, it's really, really interesting. And some of these medals are actually, you know, lessons in history. I showed you all a medal. It's got St. Pius X, St. Helen, and Constantine. Well, Helen was the mother of Constantine. And on the back of the medal, it shows when Constantine had his vision at the Bridge of Milvain right before a battle, which was the beginning of his conversion to Catholicism.
Wow.
And Constantine was the one who allowed Christianity. It was where Christianity became acceptable within society and allowed people to get involved in politics and things like that. So
wow.
some of them are history. Mentioned we have a St. Joan medal,
mm-hmm.
who, by the way, is our most popular saint.
And that Saint is such Joan. A beautiful, that is such a beautiful medal.
Yeah.
I mean, even for the youth, I mean, I'm an adult woman, but I'm like, that is so nice.
It is. And so we've got several St. Joans, but we have one that actually has her being burned at the stake.
Wow.
Now, I know it's a little gruesome, but it's the history.
Yes.
It's the history
yeah.
of St. Joan.
So I'm looking at your website, and it looks like you have many different medals. It looks like 175 plus. How can these medals be used? I think we were talking
sure.
a little bit before about it.
Well, clearly, wear it as around a chain.
Yeah.
I've got St. Ignatius, who's my spiritual hero. I wear him all the time. You could put it on a bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
You could put it on a keychain. Sometimes people will buy one for maybe their grandson or granddaughter, and they can you can pin it to a blanket or, maybe their clothing or something like that.
Yeah.
So there are just many ways. You can hang it on a wall. We don't sell it with a visor clip, but, you know, St. Christopher, the patron saint of drivers, yes. A lot of people want to get that for their teenage children
drivers,
that are drivers,
yeah.
You know. So that really it's one of the things I think about these medals is, you know, St. Paul talks about putting on the armor of Christ.
Yes.
And I sometimes when I feel temptations, I'll touch my medal. And that reminds me that I'm putting on the armor of Christ. So
amen.
That also can be viewed as putting on the armor of Christ, a reminder that Christ is always with us or a saint. You know, St. Ignatius or St. Joseph or Mary, pray for me.
And again, I just think all these medals, you know, most of them from Europe. All of them are out of the country. All these beautiful gifts that people had that didn't understand, or maybe they died or passed away or they got lost. And what a gift it is that you can share this with others.
Exactly. And I think that's what happens a lot of times. Grandma dies. And you open up the chest of drawers and all these medals. What do you do with them?
Oh, my gosh.
You send them the Rosa Mystica.
Amen. Treasure chest.
Now, if people want to learn more, explore your incredible medals, where can they go?
Sure. We have our own website, rosamysticamedals.com. Christ the King has just opened up a gift shop, Sanctus Gifts, and we have some of our medals there also.
Fantastic.
Wonderful. Thank you, John Monroe, prisoner at Christ the King, for sharing this beautiful mission of Rosa Mystical Medals with us. We are so grateful for you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we love you. We need
Here we
you.
Go.
We'll miss you. That's my used car salesman closer. Until tomorrow, glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.